Ask the Podcast Coach for August 1st, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
All right, another Saturday morning, Ask the Podcast Coach. Dave, I guess I could have just had you do that intro. You're here with us live. I'm not sure why I needed to do that, but we want to welcome you to Ask the Podcast Coach. Of course, this is the show where we ask you to call us and ask your questions live every Saturday morning, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern here at AskThePodcastCoach.com. And then, of course, today we are broadcasting live using kind of my infrastructure. So if you're listening to this, head over to The Average Guy, theaverageguy.tv/live. That will get you there as well. The noise you hear in the background is, of course, Jammin' Dave Jackson. I've been wanting to say that for a while, Dave. Jammin' Dave Jackson coming in from Podcast Movement. Dave, welcome.
Oh, great to be here. And, yeah, that's a really old, very old, somewhat semi-retired nickname. Here in the booth at Podcast Movement 2015, I actually walked out of the keynote speech from Pat Flynn to be here. But and as always, Pat brought his A game like nobody else does. It's hard to explain. He actually did like an acting scene in the middle of it, where you could hear this person, I'm assuming off stage, that was the voice in his head, which we all have, that imposter syndrome. And the timing and sound effects, just a class A production, as you always get from Pat Flynn. No DeLorean at this particular presentation, but it was really, really cool. So I'm glad to be here, as always, every Saturday.
Good to have you. Let me introduce Mike Howard as well. Mike is going to be my backup guy today. Dave, we're going to have you for 25-30 minutes, and you're going to drop off, and Mike is going to kind of fill in for you while you're out. Mike, welcome to Ask the Podcast.
Thanks, Jim. It's my second time here. Last, I was here last time. Dave was joining us from a stairwell somewhere.
Yeah, I think PodCamp or something along those lines. Mike is always good to jump in with me. Mike and I have done a lot of podcasting together over the last 4 years, and he kind of knows me. Like Dave and I, he knows me. I know him. It makes for an easy interview. So, Dave, let's jump in a little bit before we take some phone calls. By the way, if you want to call in and get yourself on hold while we're talking through, call us 347-850-8007, and that will get you on the phone lines. Dave, kind of walk us through a little bit of your Podcast Movement experience there.
It's just been, you walk in. For me, it's like summer camp. You see all your buddies from last year, and a lot. What was interesting in Pat's presentation, he said, "Who here doesn't have a podcast yet?" And there were a lot of hands that went up. So that was kind of interesting that there are a lot of people here that have come here to kind of, really kind of take it a little more serious. And like, okay, I do want to start a podcast, and there's all these people here doing it. So it was really, I guess, enlightening or encouraging to see that many hands go up, and a lot more boost than last year. But also, like, as I look out this window here in this little booth, I'm seeing the CEO of Spreaker, Francesco, I forget his last name. So he's here. Andy Toe is here from Blog Talk Radio, and Paul Culligan is here. He's launching a thing called PodcasterCart.com for anybody that wants to do e-commerce. So a lot of Podbean is here as well. So Ensure, always talk about where are the microphone guys. BSW is here. Sure is here. And Sennheiser, I can never pronounce that name. But is it Sennheiser? That microphone.
Good enough for us.
Yeah.
Sennheiser, I think, is what it is.
Yes, that's it. Sennheiser, yeah. So they're here. And PodClear, which is a kind of a ringer, is here as well. And those two are kind of the similar thing. So, yeah, it's really awesome. And tonight we've got a big event where we're all going to the Stockyards in Fort Worth, Texas. And again, the way they do it here, I'm assuming we're all going to get on buses, but there's probably like 1,000 people here. I mean, there's a lot of people here. Yeah, it's huge. So, yeah, if you want to turn that on.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually, we're good. So.
Okay. Are you going to do it through that?
Yeah. So.
A little live tech support going on there on the ground.
I'm sorry. My booth guy's like, "Do you want to turn on your microphone?" I'm like, "Yeah, go ahead." So
you actually want to use this thing so we can? Yeah. Will that be broadcasting through some speakers there on the floor?
Yeah, and I'm gonna try putting once I hear my voice here.
Yeah, if we do drop you or whatever, just jump back in and we'll get you.
Absolutely. So.
So, Dave, so what's been the highlight so far? I mean, what for you personally, what has been the highlight for Podcast Movement?
Well, because I would say Pat Flynn at this point, his presentation. Yesterday they had – it was kind of interesting. They had a bunch of like all day long, like the She Podcast thing. So a lot of it was like paid stuff, which I was kind of unaware of. And then they had these little mini TED Talks that, again, I must have missed the email or whatever. But so there was two rooms of TED Talks going on with people just getting up and saying, here's what I think about podcasting. And that was kind of hit or miss. I mean, there were some really good ones, and there were other ones that I think were, you know, brand new people that maybe aren't quite experienced in talking in public, because it was – at times it was kind of hit or miss. So the fact that Pat just did a Pat and just nailed it out of the park, that so far has been the highlight. But that and like last night, I'm standing there and Jason Van Orden comes up, you know, from Internet Business Mastery, and I haven't seen that guy in forever, you know. So it's got its different areas that are you know, great to see everybody, but in the same hands, you know, great content. So, but it's weird because you know how we've talked about, you know, the John Lee Dumas effect. And if I had a nickel for every time I heard somebody say John Lee Dumas here, I'd be rich. I'd be more rich than John Lee Dumas, I think. And what's interesting is there are definitely two camps. Like I talked to a guy, he's going to come on the School of Podcasting. He's making a living with his podcast. He does a, he has a network about podcasts just about horses. And he doesn't use CPM. He doesn't do ROI for his investors. He's an amazing story. And I'm just like, why have we not heard about this guy? And he's just, you know, he doesn't go after big, huge sponsors. He goes after little mom and pop shops. He found a, as you might imagine, a horse network. They shovel a lot of stuff over there.
And so a lot of stuff.
Yeah. One of his sponsors is a guy that makes a $250 pitchfork that's got a motor on it and all this other stuff. And he said, these people, it's a great product. He says they couldn't sell it anywhere. And he said, but I had his target audience. He goes, because literally people are using those things while they're listening to my show. And he goes, so the brand awareness and everything like that. So there's that kind of camp, you know, in the what's on iTunes kind of thing. And then, you know, the minute somebody stands up and says, well, I've only got 8 weeks to be in New and Noteworthy, I know exactly what camp that guy's coming from. So it's weird how you can kind of see, I don't know, the different teachings or the different inspiration or kind of where they're coming from. And it's not a bad thing. It's just, to me, I've always said, you know, there's no really, you know, there are best practices to podcasting, but it's just interesting to hear two completely different sides of the story. So that's something that's kind of popped out that I've seen. And I was talking with Ray Ortega last night, and he said, yeah, the minute I hear a new and noteworthy, I usually just get up and leave. So,
Dave, we talked about that on the show last week, kind of the consolidation of podcasting. I mean, that's kind of a natural, you know, as groups get bigger, they're going to want to kind of gravitate towards the gurus, so to speak, yeah. And so they take on, they, you know, since I have joined you in this community a couple years ago, we also have some internal speak, right? There's some things that we talk about that we recommend that are, you know, the ATR 2100 is the perfect example of, right? It, hands down, everybody recommends the 2100. Now, we think it's a great recommendation, but so some of those kinds of things where the groups, the camps begin to consolidate when you think about how to podcasting from that standpoint. So what's on your schedule today? What's today look like? Is this conference today and tomorrow, or is it yesterday and today? I should have looked.
It was yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's over tomorrow at 5. Just basically a lot of sessions. I'm actually going to attend. There's because they have just some phenomenal speakers here. So I'm going to one on. Hey Gary, you want to come in here, Gary? Gary Leland is staring at me through the glass.
Oh, nice.
Yes. You know, a lot of sessions that are going to be really cool to attend. I think, you know, usually a lot of times I'm going to put you – oh, I already have my earphones out. So I'm sorry. I'm all over the place here.
Can you hear us?
Of the sessions here, I can hear you guys fine. I can hear you on speaker.
Okay, cool.
But I'm sitting here with Gary Leland now. And, yeah, a lot of really great sessions. And there are things like – we have a lot of NPR presence here, so there's a great presentation on kind of a NPR radio podcasting, what can we learn from each other. There is like Daniel's doing a thing on, your website and WordPress and podcasting. So it's going to be a fun time. I'm definitely going to be coming out of here with a, notebook full of posts and cool. Notes and everything else.
Can we get Gary to say something?
Yeah, Gary, can you, you're on a hangout.
I can't talk to this mic.
It's not really going out.
We heard him. We hear him great.
Hey, yeah. I don't know. I'm talking to both because they say I can talk through the mic and Dave says I can't. I don't think Dave knows.
Well, Dave.
He won't hear you. He's only hearing you through the
podcast. Oh, okay. I got you. Hey, what's going on? Who is this?
This is Jim
and Mike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, Jim, how are you doing?
Good. How are you? How are you liking podcast movement?
One of my favorite shows, by the way. I think I tell you that every time I see you because it is.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. I know Dave does as well. Give us a quick snippet of your podcast movement experience so far.
Well, it's been fantastic. We're like double the amount of people here last year. I think we had maybe 500 to 600 last year. We're at 1,100 this year. The awards last night, I think, were fantastic. Dave, what'd you think? Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, the awards were fantastic. It was, not only the awards, but we did the first Hall of Fame ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's 10 years since podcasting started, basically. So it had been long enough to do a Hall of Fame. You can't have a Hall of Fame when it's been going on 2 years. So I think we've claimed that space, and that's ours now, the Hall of Fame.
Nice.
And the whole thing this morning, Pat's session kicked off like a blast. We have so many vendors here, and not just vendors who are selling things on how to sell stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we have equipment here. We have software here. This is a great event. And I think, and I'm patting myself on the back, but I did very little, to be honest with you. I just walk around and be a face. So I shouldn't be patting myself on the back at all.
Oh, very cool. Well, no, excellent. And it's kind of fun to watch it from afar. Dave, you got any questions there for Gary?
No, I think we're good, man. It's like I say, it's hard to describe. It really is. It's just the cool thing about it for me is, like when you're in a elevator, you can kind of just look over the person and go, tell me about your podcast, because everybody in this building is here for podcast movement.
Yeah.
I saw like one family here, but I was tempted to look down at like the 6-year-old and go, so tell me about your podcast. Cause I'm pretty sure that
you never know.
Possibility. Yeah. You never know.
Hey, let's try taking a call, Dave. How do you think about that? All right, let's just try this. So ending in 5396. I think you're live with us. Let's give that a try. Tell us who you are and your question. No, maybe not. Hold on. I got to figure out how to. Oh, there we go. There, now we go.
We'll see.
5396. Tell us who you are and your question.
All right. Hey, this is the Four and Talk Podcast. How are you guys today?
Good. How are you doing? And say who you are again. I missed it.
My name is Darren, and I'm with Foreigner Talk Podcast.
Awesome, Darren. Dave, can you hear Darren?
I'm here.
Can you hear Darren?
I could, and now I can't.
Okay, well, he's not talking because I am. Darren, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hey, listen, my question is this. So there's a lot of talk about making sure our MP3s are done correctly. Denver is not using lame encoder on Audacity, and the Fraunhofer is always the best and things like that. My question, of course, is I have recently tried to increase my sound and make it all better every time, and I've been using Auphonic because it levels my sound out better because I use Audacity and I push it into Auphonic and all my sounds are leveled up and fine. My question is that MP3, when it translates that and downloads my MP3 back to Libsyn and all that for me, is that as good a quality?
Yeah, actually, this one I'm not positive on. I know their desktop version uses the lame encoder, which I'm kind of surprised because their desktop version of that is not cheap. So why they're not going Fraunhofer, I don't know. I'm not sure what their web-based version is, but we could assume that if they're using the if they're using lame on one, they're using lame on the other. When I use Auphonic, I keep everything in WAVE format. I don't have it do the cool tagging and posting and things like that, which is kind of a bummer because that's really, on the web-based version, that's one of the biggest powerful like features of that. But I usually just keep it in a WAVE, and then I'll basically convert it to an MP3 in iTunes or Audition and tag it and upload it you know, here. So it's a little more manual that way. That's a great question. I need to ask them, like, what are they using on the web-based version? But the desktop version, if you go to their website and kind of dig around, it does say they're using the Layman coder, and I was kind of disappointed to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, you know, to me, I'm not great at audio, I guess, and to me it sounds good, but I hear recently there's been a lot of people talking about, you know, the difference. And, of course, you know, I want my show to sound as good as possible. You know, it's getting very popular in our circles, and I want to have it a good quality show. Although, you know, you improve all the time. And I got to think, well, wait a minute, this sounds good to me, but is it, could it be better, and what do they use? And I couldn't find it. I've never called in yet, so I think it would be a good time to call an app. So you have it, you use it to level, right? But you come back out and wave, and then you use something else to...
Yeah, I use it to take out, you know, any kind of noise and to level out the audio, and then I spit it out as a wave, and then I take that wave and bring it into Audition, and then I just convert that to an MP3 in Audition, and then from there.
To start the learning curve on Audition.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I mean, Dave, real quick, Mike, what are you using to encode your MP3s?
I use Audacity. I mean, Audition.
You're Audition as well, and I'm using Audition. But you can use iTunes to get that done, right? The Fraunhofer is in iTunes. So Darren, you could use iTunes to get that done, to go from Wave to MP3.
And when I switched to... Go ahead, Darren.
Well, I was going to say, definitely, you can...
Right, you're just talking about using iTunes as far as just logging into iTunes and using it in MP3, and then I
correct.
Can
jump
where I need to. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can take that WAV file, import it into iTunes, and then kick it out as an MP3, and that's got the Fraunhofer encoder in it. So that's the easiest way to do it without having to use Audacity. If you're editing it everywhere else, maybe in Audacity. That's what, you know. If in my case, I actually do all my edits in Audacity. I use Audition, but you could use iTunes in place of Audition just to get the encoder, if that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah, that'll save you $20 a month.
Okay.
All right, Darren, any other thoughts, questions?
iTunes, right?
Say that again.
That's just the desktop version of iTunes. It's not. It doesn't mean I'm uploading my file yet to my iTunes. I let Libsyn do that. But
yeah,
you're
correct.
iTunes to encode.
Yep, you just like you would a CD, like in the old days when we used to rip CDs and put them in iTunes. It's the same import process, right? When iTunes first came out, they wanted to find a great way to encode and encourage you to move over to MP3s for the iPods. That's what they needed to get all your music right on the iPods, was a really well encoded MP3. So it's all set up to do that. Now, a lot of people don't do that anymore, right? They're buying their music online or whatever, but the functionality still exists in iTunes. Pull it in like you would a piece of music, export it out like you would a piece of music with MP3. Make sure, you know, there's some settings in there to get the encoding right the way you want it. So go through the settings and make sure you have it the way you want it. But yeah, it works just as great as Audition from an encoding standpoint. And like Dave said, it'll save you $20 a month.
Yeah, and I think what you end up doing is you go into settings, you choose 128 kilobits per second, but then you have to go into custom and say, make that mono, which then gives you the 64 mono setting. Because there is no, like, 64 mono setting. You have to say 128 mono, which is 64. It's kind of a confusing little thing. If you got to YouTube or Ray Ortega, if you type in, like, Ray Ortega converting to MP3 in iTunes, Ray has a great video on that that'll walk you through the whole thing.
All right. Well, hey, perfect. See, I knew I would learn something if I called. So now I know the best way to do it. Thank you guys very, very much.
All right, Darren.
Thank you,
thanks
Darren.
A ton.
Both of you guys said saving $20 a month. What is the $20 a month?
Audition. Yeah.
Oh, so you can subscribe to just Audition?
Yes.
Okay.
So someone had just called in and was holding during that whole call. If you gave up, come back. We have open phone lines. So if you want to call in, give us a call. 347. I don't have the music, Dave. I forgot to get that from you. I didn't keep it the last time.
I could beatbox or something if you'd like.
347-850-8007. That's, again, that number, 347-850-8007. That's why we make a good team.
That's
if you're going to pay the $20 a month, you might as well just step on up and go full Creative Cloud and get everything.
Dave, are you sure you can get Edition by itself?
Yeah, I do it. I do it every month.
Okay.
All right. Because I have the full package.
But is that 50?
Well, I get a discount because my wife's a teacher.
Ah, see? Interesting.
And I when I went there, I switched from Audacity to Audition, and Mike Russell over at Music Creative,
Radio Creative
has some great tutorials on Adobe Audition
that you
can look at.
Jeff Bundy had also put a link in the chat room. Daniel has, looks like Daniel's also got a pretty good tutorial on using Audacity and iTunes. So you can head over to audacitytopodcast.com, search, I would search Audacity and iTunes, and that might give you another good, it's not terribly difficult, to be honest with you. It's a pretty easy, suck it in, make sure your settings are right, push it out.
Yeah, Dave, I have a question for you.
Sure.
So for somebody like me, a podcaster who is doing this as a hobby, and I'm willing to spend some money on my hobby like you would with any big hobby, and I'm, you know, put a lot of time into it, what would be the draw for someone like me to come to an event that you're at like right now?
I'll give you an example. This guy I got to get on my show. If you're looking for sponsors, he said, here's what you do. You go to whatever industry you're in, find a magazine on that. Then go to those advertisers, because advertising in print isn't working very well. And he goes, if you want, you could call up and find out like what it would cost to get that ad. So now you know what price it is to undercut it. And that's how this guy started getting sponsors, is he just went after people who are already spending money on advertising. And he just went in and said, look, you know, how's that working for you, advertising in a magazine, knowing that they're going to say, it's not very good. And just explain the power of the niche. And in a magazine, people are there to read the articles, not look at your ad. But here I've got your audience over here. So there's that. There's a lot of cool things where you'll find, A, the whole group is like-minded individuals, but you might find other people to network with, or you might find people to be on your show, or people that might want to have you on their show. You kind of get with all the booths. You get to see what's new and upcoming and some technology that might be able to help your show. And you get to get off the plane at 9 o'clock on Thursday and have it be 97 degrees.
I got that here in Atlanta. You know, the other thing, when I go to an event, let's say for my day job, I usually leave that event all pumped up and you know, thinking about all the things I want to do when I get back to work on the drive back home. But how do you keep that energy once you come back? Because I generally lose it like the next day.
Now, for me, yeah. God bless Evernote. I'm taking lots of notes. I'm making to-do lists. And, you know, I what I do when I come back is, and I got this tip from Daniel, which is, you know, when somebody gives me a business card, write a note on the back of it. Like, why do I have this person's business card? Or what should I be doing with this person? And then it's just a matter of not throwing those business cards in a pile with the other ones from the other event and the other event and the other event. And just keeping that going, because really, you know, in the end, it is kind of all about relationships. Those really help fuel things. So, you know, I found a couple people here that I'm like, oh, I definitely have to have you on my show. And I've found some people that, you know, I've talked to a woman yesterday that has a great blog, and she helps women start a business and all this other stuff. And she's like, oh, I've got to go to your school. So for me, it's kind of cool because I'm finding customers without really like pimping myself. Just here's who I am. Here's my card kind of thing. So that helps. And then to a certain extent, it's strengthening the relationships you already have. So when you get to shake hands with Steve Stewart and Ray Ortega and all the other people, you know, it's yeah. So to keep it going, you just, I don't know, I guess you just gotta, you know, for me, when I get, like, on the plane ride home probably tomorrow, I'll be making a list of, like, okay, what did I learn? What am I going to share with my audience? What am I going to do in the future? You know, things like that. And then you just, you know, start cranking it out. And as you go through that list, of course, that's going to provide more insights. And, oh, now that I'm actually doing this, I didn't know this, which will, you know, maybe spur you on to get more education on this subject. So it kind of just, it's a great momentum. You know, it's kind of like a quick start in a way. You get a bunch of information, And as you start to digest that information, you find out maybe more things that you didn't know or more things that you want to dive deeper in and things like that. So I guess you just keep your feet moving. I'm trying to come up with a quick way to answer your question, but that's... Yeah.
No, Dave, I think you have to intentionally plan some time when you get back. This is, Mike, to your point, as we get back, we get sucked back into life, and it's the tyranny of the urgent, and it's just like it's just back. And I think you have to set aside some time. And this is just thinking through what I've done. I do, you know, I do a lot of these conferences too, and I make these plans and I write notes on the airplane or whatever. And you and I have to set aside like a half a day, like, okay, I'm actually gonna, or Saturday, I'm actually gonna implement some of these things or give it a try. Mike, the other thing I find sometimes is what sounded cool at the conference doesn't actually pan out to be really cool when you get back, right? And you try it and you scratch it off and you're like, not as good as it was. But I think you have to you got to set that time aside to make it happen.
I love the idea about writing some notes on the back of the business card because, you know, at the moment when you get it, you think, oh, I'll remember this. And then you get back home and you got all these business cards and it's some of them stick out, but a lot of them blend in together. You're not quite sure what the deal was with that person. But writing notes on the back of it will help you when you get back, at least help me.
Yeah, Daniel has a great – his last episode, he had like 21 tips in true Daniel fashion. To, you know, get the most out of a conference. I actually have ChapStick in my front pocket because of Daniel J. Lewis, so he should be sponsored by ChapStick.
Well, it's, hey, you always forget that traveling. It's the same way, especially, you know, I'm here in the Midwest, and I might go to Vegas, which is super dry. So you go from a really, you know, a very, very a wet climate to kind of a dry climate. It's in, you start walking around, and you're like, oh, man, I can't breath. Breath mints are another good thing to have, right?
Yeah.
Gum,
yeah.
Something like that when you're talking to people. Because you're on the floor all day. You also have to have a good, really good pair of shoes. That I think people totally underestimate the conference. Like, I wore some shoes that dug into my feet on the first day, and I was just awash the rest of the time. Because, you know, if you're in Vegas, especially, you're walking a mile or two or three or 10 a day, right? I mean, you get about 15,000 steps in. So, Dave, I know we're getting close on time for you because I know you got some things to do. But any final thoughts as you think about podcast movement, what you're looking ahead to? Oh, let me ask you questions about the booths. Who have you seen so far, and who's got the best booth there?
I haven't really seen a bunch, to be honest with you. I was, basically in this little TED Talk sessions yesterday. So I plan on doing some of that today. Best looking booth. They're all kind of the same. BSW's here. That's kind of cool. I'm going to go over because they brought some gear, so I'll probably go over there and play with the gear. And there's a some sort of digital marketing firm that I've never heard of. And like I say, there's a couple kind of Skype recording services that I need to check out. So I haven't really had a chance to play with much of the toys yet. That's actually on the list of things to do today.
Now that you're in the middle of this, if anybody was going to do podcast movement next year, you know, sometimes you forget these things when you're not in the middle of it. But now, knowing what you know now, halfway through or a day in, would you, any advice you give to anybody about coming out for next year?
Just start. You know, it's not cheap, you know, to travel and things like that. So most bank accounts will allow you to, you know, deposit, you know, certain amounts of money or things like that, because next year it's in Chicago. It's July, I believe, 6th through the 8th in Chicago. And, you know, by the time you get the flights and the hotel and the event, you know, it does kind of add up. So, you know, start putting aside, you know, $30, $40 a month. And by the time that rolls around next year, you'll have, plenty of resources to make it happen.
Yeah, very cool. I think it's good. They're changing locations, too. It's getting closer to me. I might actually be able to drive out to that to get that done. Hey, one thing I wanted to tell you before we go. So, you know, I'm using your Blog Talk Radio account to get this done. And so I tried the Go Live Now feature of Blog Talk Radio. You know how you were scheduled it and it talks to you?
Yeah.
Go Live Now is wonderful. It doesn't say a word to you ever.
Nice. All right.
So a little recommendation when you get back, give that a try for the show, because it just, it starts now, it's a little messy because it's not, you know, you got the, you got to cut off the beginning and the end and all that other stuff, right?
Right.
But as far as like having it to be on time and whatever, it doesn't, you know, because it's just going live. And that piece worked really well for me this morning. So I also set it for 90 minutes as opposed to 60 in case we were going to do a little before and we'll probably do a little bit after. So
awesome.
a little blog talk radio tip. Hey, tell Rob Greenlee. I mentioned this to you in Slack, but tell Rob Greenlee thanks. Spreaker opened up their title to be more than 40 characters now. So you know how you used to be restricted by and you have to get really creative if you have long titles in Spreaker. I don't know if it's unlimited, but it's a lot bigger than it used to be. So stop by and tell Rob, thank you.
Steve Stewart is staring at me through the glass as we speak.
You're like in the fishbowl.
Yeah, I am in the fishbowl. Here, Steve might be coming around.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, you're on Ask the Podcast Coach.
Hello, sir.
What are your thoughts on the conference so far?
Well, of course, as we expected, it's amazing, and there's more people here than last year. We've had, I think it's 1,000 people here.
Yeah, 1,100.
1,100? No way, that's amazing. And it's funny how many podcasters here I've recognized, or they recognize me, but then there's thousands I haven't. And you can just walk up to anybody here and just start a conversation and find out what they're doing. It's just a great networking and find out more about what they're doing and idea sharing.
Yes. Awesome.
Steve, it's Jim. Hey,
hey Jim.
You talked me into talk.to. You know, you did that webinar with Dave the other day.
Yeah.
And you were highlighting talk, TAWK.to, and I went out and messed with it. Man, that is a super nice tool for the podcaster to have, especially like on their website. I leave it on when I'm at my desk so people could just ping me individually if they want to talk to me. I think that's a pretty awesome engagement tool. You've been using it longer than me. What do you think?
I've only had it for probably about 2 months, and it really is helpful for someone who has a product, service, or wants to connect with with whoever is visiting their site. I don't know how much you've already talked about it, but I've just found it very cool to be able to, you know, if somebody's on my site, they don't have to find my Twitter handle, Facebook, whatever. They can just click on this little chat button. It opens up a box. They can send me a question. And it's only going to show that I'm available when I log in and I say I'm available. So I haven't had a whole lot of conversations, but the ones I've had have been very cool. Just because that would have been a connection or a question that was asked, or just, you know, somebody saying, you know, even just during the webinar, somebody saying, hey, you know, this is great. Thanks for having the webinar. That's just one more of those, you know, as our culture, we just love being, this is going to sound bad, but satisfying ourselves right away, you know, getting the satisfaction.
Instant gratification.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Thank you. And that's just one more way that we can do that. And, of course, in the world of business, I think that's very important to be able to answer those questions while they're on your site.
Yeah, no, for sure. Hey, Steve, best part of Podcast Movement so far?
Dave Jackson. it's going to be tonight, Late Night Tacos, which I just call, let's go get something somewhere and hang out. It's, the
Late Night Tacos could be like Event Roulette, though.
Yes, it could be. But, yeah, yesterday was, they did this thing called PMX, which was kind of like a play on the word TEDx, and they had people in a couple rooms doing 10-minute talks. Those were fun. They had some presentations during the day as well. There was the She Podcast thing. Appendipity Themes did a presentation. After that, there was, you know, registration open up. There's a whole bunch of people who had meetups, either on site or off site. And then last night was just a big old party with the awards show. Everything yesterday was a variety of fun.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to even get better now that we've got the session starting today.
No, very cool. Dave, how are we doing on time for you?
How are we doing on time for you?
We're actually got about 5 minutes till they're going to kick us out of the booth.
Okay, very cool. So, Steve, great having you on. Thanks for swinging by and chatting with us. Of course, for folks who don't know, tell us where we find you.
You can find everything I do over at stevestewart.me.
All right, very cool. Thanks for
Jim.
Hey, thanks for that talk.to. I'm liking that, and I think that's a good tip for folks to increase that engagement.
Yeah, I'm not sure when the next folks are coming in, so I think I'll go ahead and pull the ripcord here.
All right, sounds good.
But thanks for holding down the fort, and I'll see everybody next week.
Yeah, Mike thanks, and I'll Dave. Stay around, but Dave, thanks for coming in, and yes. Mike, thanks for sitting tight while Dave was doing that. But we'll catch you here on your way back.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks Dave. Bye. You're listening live. Hang around. Dave's taken off, but Mike and I have got a bunch of conversation set up for you. You can still call in if you want. In fact, now would be a great time to call in. 347-850-8007 is the number to call in. And Mike, thanks for putting that in chat. Mike, you know, you and I, let's have an honest conversation about conferences. We're not there.
Right.
So, you know, what's your take generally when you come to these kinds of conferences? What's your take on them? And obviously it didn't attract you. It, for me, it was just a timing thing. I'm super busy this time of the year and I just couldn't make another trip down there. But what about you?
You know, Dave mentioned getting avatars and that kind of thing. That's not something I'm really that interested in. For me, this is always going to be a hobby. I have no dreams or aspirations to make this a moneymaker. I wouldn't mind having something to offset a little bit of the cost, but I'm not sure I want to go the advertiser route. So for me, the networking to get advertisers wouldn't be the draw. The draw would be, and I'm not going to get new listeners really from that, but the draw would be to network with other people and learn what other people are doing, because I do want to make my show better and make and get more followers. I mean, yeah, I do it because I love to do it, but would I do this year in and year out if I had one listener? I don't know. I don't know if I would have spent the kind of money I've spent on this if only one other person is listening, because in a way that's kind of feedback to say what I'm doing is not that good.
Right.
And I do want to improve. So I don't know that I would travel out there. You know, if it was here in Atlanta, yeah, I might spend, what was it? How much was it to go there? $497, something like that?
Yeah, not terribly. I mean, I've done some tech conferences that are shorter, that are more expensive. So
I think if it was here and I didn't have to book the flight and the hotel and all that kind of stuff, I might spend the money to go to that. You know, $500 is a lot to spend on something like that for me. But if it's here in Atlanta and I could do $500 versus $1,000, then I might go.
Yeah, Joe makes an interesting point, Joe Taylor in chat, and this, Mike, might apply to you as well. He says, if I'm spending money on a conference, I'll spend it attending a conference in my niche. And I think as a photographer, right, you may get better lift, or it may be more appropriate for you to be at a photography conference than a podcaster's conference.
The thing for me where I would get more potential guests for the show and maybe more listeners too would be to go something like Photoshop World. That would be a better thing for me. A lot of what we do, we were talking about this last night, Jim, a lot of what we do as podcasters, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're, in a way, doing what other people have done and had success with and trying to incorporate it in our show where it makes sense. And so you do get that. I would think you would get that from networking at a podcast movement, I mean a podcast convention. But it's not worth, you know, the travel and all that time for me.
Yeah, I think for me on that, like if I'm going to go to a conference and travel, it's going to be a conference vacation kind of deal where I'm going to the conference, but I'm really, you know, for me, I want to get in some rest and some relaxation, maybe see something new. And I think, you know, conferences know that. That's kind of why they go to nice places to get this done. Not sure July 6th in Chicago is going to be the greatest draw. That's where they're going for Podcast Movement next year. It's super hot here in the Midwest, and there as well, and so it'd be interesting to see. You know, you go down to Texas, and they're kind of designed for hot. We are too, but it's not the same, right? Anyways, we'll move on from that. But
I'll say you and I maybe there's probably plenty of people like us, but there's a lot of people who are different who are looking to make money with their podcasts or at least get sponsors to help cover some of the cost, and this may be a great event for those guys.
Yeah.
And the inspiration you get when you go to a conference like this and you hear those guys talking, I imagine you walk away inspired.
Yeah.
There's some value in that too.
Or completely overwhelmed. That happens sometimes too. You go to a conference and you get all this stuff and you come back and you're like, oh man, this is for me, it's a little bit of competition sometimes. And you're like, I'm not even half as good as Steve Stewart. You know, how could I ever compare myself to Ray Ortega, right? From those kinds of things. And it may actually discourage some when they come back, like, ah, forget it. I don't have a good podcast. I'm gonna pod fade. So I think you have to be careful too. And you can get absolutely overwhelmed in some of these conferences. But I do think there are nuggets. I mean, there's nuggets everywhere. I just talked about this talk.to, TAWK.to. I was just listening to a webcast that Steve Stewart was doing with Dave Jackson. They'd done a little webinar. Dave had done it. And they weren't even talking about that. They were talking about file structure. Like, how do you save files and how do you, you know, what kind of folders do you put them in and how do you organize that? But in the pre-show, Steve was talking about this. And I've been trying that out. And I'm like, this is a really great tool. So it doesn't always have to be at a conference. I think sometimes you just have to listen for it. The one thing you can get at a conference that you really can't get anywhere else is access to these companies like Spreaker or like Blog Talk Radio, where they send representatives, and normally they're not going to give you the time that they're going to give you at a conference, right? Their motivations are in the right place at a conference to spend time with you. Sometimes if you try to get time with these companies, it's really hard during a normal workday, but because they're there, because they're locked in on the conference grounds and because they're there to talk to people, you can get some inside information. I'd love to see. This is what happens at CES all the time, but doesn't seem to be happening at Podcast Movement, is podcasters interviewing these companies live on the floor. I don't see a lot of that going on.
Yeah, you do at some conventions, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. Craig had asked about the virtual ticket, and it looks like the virtual ticket for Podcast Movement, $297 US there.
Right.
About $300 to get that done. That's a lot of learning.
I mean, too expensive for me, too, for a virtual ticket.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I would like to go back on something you said, though, Jim. You said something about you may get discouraged, and I can definitely see that. In my world of photography podcasts, he's probably not the top of the photography podcasts. I don't know who would be. But he's up there, and he may be the most charismatic of the group, and that would be Jared Polin, who is the guy behind Frono's Photo. And you look, you know, I will never be the charismatic character that he is. He is, you either love him or hate him. He's, out there. So you could look at that and say, if I'm never going to be a Jared Polin or a Frono's Photo, then why should I be doing this? But I think you should look at, you know, be whoever you're going to be. And you're going to get some followers. And whether that's 1,000, 10,000 or whatever, it is what it is. I was looking at some YouTube videos the other day with my 19-year-old son. He said, hey, check this guy out. He's hilarious. And you go there, and this guy has, I don't know how many millions and millions of subscribers. And all he is like laughing at and saying words to video games that are being played. I wish I knew the guy. I bet if I looked it up online here, I could get it. But I looked at that and said, why on earth is anybody listening to this guy? So, you know, there's people out there who will listen to you, no matter what you are. So, you know, don't worry about the fact that you're not a Ray Ortega or a Daniel J. Lewis or whoever it is, Pat Flynn, something like that. You know, just be who you're ever going to be, and you will grow a following over time.
Yeah, no, for sure. It just kind of depends why you're doing it and what you got into it for. I, like you, got this into it for hobby. And for me, you know, although we were doing a podcast on Wednesday. We're doing Home Server Show. We had Susan Bradley on, and she's a Microsoft MVP for Small Business Server. And she says, because she was asking, hey, you guys gonna go to CES this year? And I'm like, God, you know, that's like the sixth conference in my schedule that I would need to pay for, right? And she's like, you guys really need to work on getting yourself sponsored for those conferences. And I thought, you know, that's probably a good idea, is I ought to have some kind of mechanism in place. Now, maybe I don't, but I don't even ask, right? And I should probably have a mechanism in place for somewhere to pick up some kind of like, hey, you know, we'll do this and make some kind of agreement and you'll get so many blog posts and we'll do so many interviews and whatever. And they pay for the conference type deal. So I have to think about that some more. I haven't really worked those. I'm not a big, you know, we have an Amazon affiliate link, and that's about the only way I try to like compensate myself for the podcast stuff I do. All the other stuff is just too much work, you know? It's not my job. Where Gallup, it is my job. So, you know, I pour my time into that webcast and try and get that.
That YouTube guy was PewDiePie. I'm sure everybody else has heard of him besides me. 32 million plus PewDiePie? Subscribers. P-E-W-D-I-E-P-I-E.
Okay.
Maybe you and I, Jim, are the only ones that haven't heard of him. 32 million plus subscribers on YouTube, 6.65 billion or more views. And if you watch his videos, you're like, why would anybody watch this? But that's the thing, is every niche has its his niche is very large, but every niche has its thing. So I would not get discouraged by the fact that I'm not a Jared Polin.
Yeah. No, it is so weird what gets traction. I can't find my mouse anywhere. Oh, it's stuck on my surface.
You know, it's revenue streams. You know, the Amazon, like you talked about, doesn't require you to go out and get to get advertisers and do that kind of stuff. There's a few affiliate things that you can do like that. It doesn't require you to go out and get people to sponsor you or people to come, you know, do ads on your show and that kind of stuff. It doesn't interrupt your show at all. With that, you can work it in very, very subtly. So there's also on YouTube, if you have a video podcast and you're putting that on YouTube, you can monetize the channel.
Yeah. I've shut off all monetization on YouTube for my stuff. I hate when I'm watching a YouTube video and those freaking ads pop up. Just drives me bananas. And I know why people are doing it. I get it. It's money, right? But it drives me bananas. And so I've shut it off completely.
So I will tell you that, okay, you shut it off on the recorded version. But when you're live, see, I do just the opposite. When I'm live, I have shut it off on the live version because I put lower thirds and that kind of stuff at the bottom and do that kind of thing. So I shut it off on the live version, but then on the version that goes into YouTube after I've edited it, then I turn it on. I don't do the mid-roll stuff or anything like that. It's all on the front end that you're going to do.
I think there's better. If you're going to charge, if you're going to try and make money for that, I think there's better. And you have enough viewers, right? Because, I mean, you got to have – even on YouTube, you have to have enough viewers to make it worth it from that standpoint. But I think there's better ways of doing that CPM-wise if you are just doing it in your podcast as opposed to – God, that's just this annoying on YouTube. It makes me so mad. Now, it doesn't make me mad enough that I don't watch the video, but I get – shut that ad off, right?
But I think everybody's getting used to it, and I will tell you that
– No, I get madder every time.
Maybe there's a limit to how mad you're getting.
Maybe I need an anger management course.
You're still watching them. I don't have a ton of views. I'm trying to look at how much we have per month.
Yeah.
But you know, it doesn't take much. We're getting less than 20,000 views a month, our last 28 days, and you're still making almost $100 a month. So you're not getting rich off of it. It's probably not offsetting a lot of your costs, but it's easy money.
Yeah, 20,000 views is pretty good, Mike. I mean, that's for a lot of people, that's pretty good. Those are pretty good numbers on YouTube for the, I think, for the average person. We do the Gallup ones on the Gallup side. We do 25,000 to 30,000 a month on that. And we've shut off all that stuff. But that I think those are some pretty good numbers. I think my site, you know, and I've got a lot of, awesome. Sarah just brought me some more Starbucks. She's awesome. Thank you, by the way. I maybe do 3,000 or so, 3,000 or 4,000 views a month. And I think when I, you know, in the early days, I maybe made, you know, $1 or $2 a month, which just to me wasn't worth it. So I think you have to weigh that yourself if you want to do that. True. It just kind of drives me nuts.
Well, while we're talking about video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about your video.
I can tell you a little bit about what we do here. So we started off with, you know, like we're doing here, with a hangout. And that works great for a lot of cases. It's much simpler, much less in production involved while you're live and all that kind of stuff. But what we wanted to do was be able to do some picture-in-picture stuff besides the little thumbnails you have at the bottom. I wanted to have us, you know, me and my co-hosts on the right-hand side in thumbnails and have the guests in the big and on the side. Then we wanted to interject, you know, photos as we're talking in a slideshow format and maybe pull up web pages and all those kind of things. You can do a lot of that in a hangout. It's just not in a format we wanted. So we initially went to XSplit, which is a great product for about Spreaker stopped?
No, just keep going.
Okay. It was a great thing for about $60, but it's somewhat limited. So then we went to Wirecast. Wirecast is a, you know, video switcher, software video switcher. really, really good, but it's about $4.95 for the full version. And it has some limitations on it too, where basically if you're recording locally and streaming, you're going to have to match those and have them the exact same encoder settings. So if you're wanting to record at 720p or 1080p, you're going to have to stream at that same thing. And for somebody like me who has only 5 meg up, that's not I can't do that. So I'm having to do it in something different, find something in the middle. And Wirecast is a CPU hog. It really uses the GPU very little. So we moved to a product called vMix. vMix is another video switcher. It has various models out there, various whatever you call it. It has a 60-day free trial that is full, the full thing. I think you get the second to the top version of that. And no watermarks, no audio embed problems, nothing like that. 60 days to try it out for free, and then if you like it, you can buy it. The version we got was the full HD version, which can do 1080p, and that one is, I'm looking at now, $350. So it is a little expensive.
$350 one time, right?
One time, yes.
Plus, and then maybe some upgrades down the line.
Some upgrades. He really discounts the upgrades, and if they're within, I think, a year of you buying it, then it's free. And that gives us the ability to do what we're talking about. It does make great use of the CPU, a GPU. So in the case where my computer with Wirecast was hitting 80% CPU, moving to vMix, even with better settings, we're hitting about 25% CPU. So very, very doable from that standpoint. And the user interface is fairly good, so we can switch that. And I can record in HD, 1080p, and then stream it whatever I want to stream. And we use YouTube Live for our streaming.
Mike, you've got some great examples of that on your website. So if you go to jpeg2raw.com and go to the live page, or you can click on any of the posts. He's got all those videos out there that he does. And I like watching your, I used to think video doesn't really matter, but I think it really does in a lot of ways, because I enjoy coming over and watching your show because of the various effects that you do. It's not just the talking heads like we're doing right now. Right now, this is primarily an audio podcast for the most part, but for photography, it makes sense for you to really focus on video. And so if you're interested in how this vMix works and what it looks like and what you can do with it, I think head out to Mike's site, jpeg2raw, jpeg2raw.com. Check out some of his videos, and I think don't you have one with Rachel that you've just done recently, Rachel?
Rachel Brinke.
Brinke. Yeah. And I think that was a particularly good one.
Yeah, she's a great guest, by the way.
Yeah,
and
right.
It also, I'm still learning with it. I'm still doing new things with it. And, I still screw up from time to time. It does give you the ability. We normally go through Skype, but we've had some issues every once in a while with Skype, and we can go to Hangout. So for us, how we get the video, we're kind of, it doesn't matter because we're using vMix. So if I get it through, GoToMeeting, or I get it through Skype, or I get it through Hangout, that doesn't really matter in our production. It's just whatever's going to work. Skype is our go-to, our first thing, and then we come to Hangout if that didn't work.
Yeah, you got a nice backup for that.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of flexibility in how you can do it if you're going to do a video podcast.
Yeah, Jeff had asked in chat about the cameras, and I think this is interesting when you talk about doing a video podcast. What he asked us what cameras we use. We are on C920s, which is, I think, kind of the low-end industry standard at this point. If you're going to go with any camera and you're going to do podcasting, you got to have a C920 or the 900 series. Just great HD. But it's not the camera that makes a difference. It's the light. I podcasted with Dave McCabe for a lot of years, and I always had dim lights, and it was grainy. It didn't matter what camera I got. And one day, he just got sick of me being in low light. And so for Christmas, he bought me some $75 Cowboy Studio. That's this is kind of the entry level when we talk about lighting. A lighting kit. Came with 3 umbrellas and all the lights that I need. I actually mounted those to the ceiling, and I shine them straight at me. Although you don't want the lights to come at you straight on, especially if you have glasses, because that they'll show back up. But the lights need to come down at you, and that way you're not seeing them in the camera. And so what makes a difference, because all webcams are light starved, right? They have that little tiny, and as a photographer, Mike, Yep. That little tiny sensor, right? I mean, it's even smaller than that. That's pulling it in. The more light you can throw at it, the better for them. You don't want anything from behind. You want everything coming forward, facing forward. This is another mistake a lot of podcasters make with lighting is they sit behind the window and then open the window up because they want to get all the light they can. Well, guess what? You're now Jesus because there's a halo around you and the angels are singing. It's not a great, you know, your face is all dark. You want to get that light going the other direction. So Cowboy Studios was the one I used. If you want to go out to the average, well, you're out there already. When you're done with the show, hit, I think I have a gear tab up on my site. I think that's still, let me see if it's still there. Oh, I took the gear tab down. If you go to it's up there. If you go to theaverageguy.tv/gear, maybe open that another tab. I've got some write-ups on all my gear, and you can see the exact Cowboy Studio lighting that we used here. Not terribly expensive. Will make your C920 go from a marginal camera to a great camera. That's kind of a... Mike, what are you using for lights?
I think I'm using the same Cowboy Studio. I got a... Right here in front of me, I've got a... You can see as my gain gets here, it gets much lighter. An umbrella that I'm shooting through the umbrella. So I got... I actually have some mounts that mount to drop ceilings, those little brackets you have in a drop ceiling. It mounts to that, and then it comes with a pole. So I'm hanging that umbrella from the ceiling. And then over here on my right to counter that and that whole glasses thing you talked about, I have a softbox, I think it's Cowboy Studio softbox that's pointing this way to me. So I'm trying to counter some of that glass, and I think I'm doing it okay.
Yeah, you look good. And I'm pretty sure you can't see much glare. Maybe a little bit up here as you're looking. But no one's ever said, because I've seen some of those podcasters where – you know, the other thing, the other big mistake is they do is they got a bunch of monitors and no light in the room. And so you get this nice monitor hue about you, right? It's just kind of like, oh, you can tell it's the burning glow of the monitors. And you really got to fill the room up with light.
I'll tell you, back, I think, at the time I was on Ray's Podcasters Roundtable, the lighting equipment I was using then was LED lights embedded into a used milk jug, one of those plastic milk jugs. And what that did was diffuse the light. So I had three or four of those right above the monitors that was, you know, my milk jug lighting. So I upgraded from those.
I really like jugs. I'm just going to say it.
And, you know, there is a photo out there somewhere with it, but I can't quite find it now of the studio here with the milk jug lights, but we've upgraded from that since. And the effect I'm having right here is the light is all on me. The monitor behind me, I've had to dim it some so you could read it. And then the light behind that, there's not much light behind it. So it gets a little darker as it goes back, which is what I was looking for.
Now that Cowboy Studio set right now on Amazon, $50. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's the best. That's the best I've seen it. And it's certainly worth it's the LMS 103. If you don't, I think Stargate Pioneer put the chat in the, or put the link in the chat for that. But if you are just listening via audio, just go to Amazon and search Cowboy Studios LMS 103. Probably will get you there. That's a pretty good set. That now they put it in a travel bag, but Cowboy Studios is not meant to be portable. I mean, it is, but it's the gear itself, the metal stuff is a little flimsy, but you're paying $50, right?
I
mounted it and I left it. Now I got three stands and I only use two. I actually take the third one on the road with me. And when I am, cause that little tiny stand that comes with it, it's meant for a backlight is really what it's meant to be. But I take it on the road with me. And when I'm podcasting at conferences and stuff, I just set that little stand up, plug it in, and at least I have one. I bought an extra umbrella. You can buy an umbrella for like $15 on Amazon, and I take it with me. It's my portable conference lighting, and that works out really, really well to get some bright white light in a conference because not all conferences are lit very well, and so it's a good way to take it with you, and it fits in a little box. It's about that big when you're done, and you just take it with you. It becomes, you know, I take a tripod, I take the lighting, I take my Surface, I take, you know, all that stuff that I need to do, be able to do a remote. I have a little tiny mixer that I take with me and some ATR 2100s and we get it done. So that's a great way. Randy Cantrell says white paper Chinese lanterns work well too with bright LED bulbs. When I think of Chinese lanterns, I think of a little candle in there and it floating away. So maybe that's not what you want, but yes, anything anything white translucent that will brighten up the room. In this room I'm in right now, honestly, I have a the other thing I've done, because these are so white, is I've introduced, I have like a five light LED, well, not LED, but the fluorescent, but there's, it's like got these arms, mm-hmm. and the covers on them are orange or tan, whatever you want to call it, right? And that adds some natural color to the whole mix.
Okay.
So I've got the white lights here, and then I, like you, I got that box, I got some oranger lights here, so I don't look so pale in the, you know, because you just got a ton of white light coming in. And I look pale anyways, so it's helpful to add a little bit of light.
And you know, my milk jugs, I don't use those anymore, but the milk jugs and like Randy said, the Chinese paper, what you're wanting is something to diffuse that light so that light's right. not coming at you harsh. You want something that's going to break that light up. And, you know, there's a lot of things that can. You could, you know, do milk jugs like I did.
Yeah. No, that's the – but at $50, to be honest, $50 for this.
I would waste your time with milk jugs.
Don't monkey around. You get three really good bulbs. You know, they're fluorescent bulbs that run cool, but are very, very bright. And it's just on this one for $50, don't hack it. Just go buy it and check that out on Amazon.
You know, most of our guests are photographers that come on the show, and you would think that all of them would come with the greatest of light. And it's really majority of them do not. They come struggling. They come in off their Apple laptop using the webcam built into the thing, and they're in some dark room. So that's one of the things we got to work with them on, is making the environment a little bit better for the podcast.
Yeah, well, Mike, I think with that lighting discussion, we're going to call it quits, at least for the recorded version. I want to say thanks for coming out and filling in and joining me as a co-host here in Dave's absence and for doing what you do. It's always great. You're my accountability partner when it comes to podcasting, so thanks for taking my calls like at 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night when we just get together and chat. Great to have you on.
Yeah, no problem, Jim. You know I'm always sitting here working on something for the show, so
yeah.
Not a problem.
You and I have a similar a work flow in that we're always working on our workflow, right? We're down here on weekends, a lot of those are spent kind of giving to, you know, and both of us are in a life situation where that's possible. Not all podcasters, you know, if you have kids, you can't kind of do that. So you got to figure out some ways around it. We give a lot of time to it. So Mike, thanks for coming on.
Yep. Thank you, Jim.
We are live every Saturday morning, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, out here at AskThePodcastCoach.com. Typically today we're coming live from Podcasters Movement, although I'm not. I'm coming in from my studio, but Dave normally joins us here. And we love to answer your questions, so come out and join us live. Give us a call, and we'd love to have you do that. And we'll stay around for a little bit of a post-show like we do each and every week. We'd love to have you come out and join us for that. So next Saturday, as you're thinking about this, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, come out, AskThePodcastCoach.com. And with that, we'll let the music take us out. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Thank you.